Welcome in, Braves Today, bravestoday.com. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. Of course, it's brought to you by plainscoffee.com. Go there and enter the code BRAVES. Get your 10% off. That should be easy for you to remember. Is Lindsey, you and I talked about spring training. We talked about things that you saw. You saw you had access to a lot of pitchers, and you got to saw a lot of the battery going, you know, as they pitchers, catchers, and whatnot. However, what has stood out thus far that you've talked about, that you've written about, that I've seen, that I keep seeing being tweeted, retweeted, Facebooked, message boards,
anything, smoke signals
is everybody Telegrams.
Yeah,
is in shock and awe of Spencer Strider. And they have good reason to be, because you actually did the, as I call it, the number breakdown, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And I understand it's spring training, and I understand he's pitching against some guys that are going to be in AAA this season, and so they're trying to make a roster. But from the highlights that I've seen, he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, Spencer Strider. Okay, so first, it was the game that he had on Monday against the Twins. He goes 5 full innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, no runs allowed. The next run Spencer Strider allows in spring training will be the first run he allows in spring training. He is 3-0. He's gone 14 innings, 9 hits, 4 walks, 22 strikeouts. No one has scored. Earned, unearned, doesn't matter. No one's crossed the plate when Spencer Strider is the pitcher.
22 strikeouts. It's absurd. You and I were talking last year, who makes it to 100 first, Spencer Strider or Matt Olson, as far as strikeouts are concerned. And if you start counting spring games, with him being at 22, he may be at 60 before the spring's over with.
Yeah, it's – okay, so the thing with Strider, and he talked about this some early in camp, about he wanted to get in ready to go, right? Like, he's been working in the lab, he's been tinkering with that curveball, and – he's realized that in spring, he needs to have the same intensity that he has in the regular season, right? And so we saw him come in. He's throwing gas. He's ready to go. He's got a new pitch. At this rate, it kind of doesn't feel like anybody's really going to touch Spencer Strider. The big question I end up having is, and it's dumb, it's probably not serious, but like, at what point do you worry, like, okay, you're good, man. You're good. You don't have to do anymore.
Right.
Like, save some bullets for the regular season, right? I don't know if that's going to come up, but there's a small part of me that is just kind of curious about that. Because when you look at what he did, he went from 131 innings in 2022 to 186 in 2023, and you had 2 postseason starts in 23. He had 1 start in 22 in the postseason. And so it's like, really, it ends up being 190-plus innings last year. He jumped, like, 50 innings from where he had been the year before. And so it's like, okay, at what point do you let him go 2 or 3 innings in spring and just pull him? Like, okay, you're good. You don't need to go 5 or 6, right? It kind of makes me wonder. And then I have that little bit of question about, we just kind of assume Max Fried's the opening day starter because he has been the last few years.
I don't see how that's
Because, like, he has the tenure, right? That's a Brian Sinker thing. He has the tenure, but Spencer Strider looks like he's 100% ready. Like, he could go a complete game on opening day. And so I have no idea when Atlanta's going to announce the opening day starter, but I have a little bit of wonder about, like, do you let Spencer Strider do it because you think he's ready and he could go deeper into the game? I just don't know.
You know, they got that saying, it says all cattle, no hat, meaning, you know, that you're missing something. Right now, Spencer Strider's got all cattle and got the biggest daggone hat that you could imagine that's out there. And so it makes you wonder if they just by default, they can't. I mean, let me ask you this. This is one thing I want to get to. How much of this also has to do with his mindset? Because he's the one that in the offseason interviews, in early spring when they first got there, he's the one that's kind of thrown out that moniker of World Series or bust, because I think he legitimately is, a nice way of saying it, ticked off about last year. And I think that during the offseason, all he did was think about, how fast can I get back on the mound And how quickly can I start facing people and mow them down so we can go ahead and get through 162 games and be back in the playoffs to make a difference this year? Like, how much of that mindset is it more so than even just – because you mentioned intensity. Yeah. How much of it's that mindset and intensity as opposed to even talent that he has?
He seems pissed. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of it's just the fact that he's pissed, yeah. And I do think it's a good thing that he is looking like he's looking in spring, because he was the one who first kind of came up and said World Series or bust, and then everybody else came and said, yeah, we agree with that. He was really the one who kind of brought it up at Braves Fest. And if he didn't look ready to go, it would be a different conversation about like, okay, yeah, like you can say that, but he's walking the walk. And I think that's a big thing. I think it resonates with this clubhouse. We've talked about how like all these guys are professionals. There's a certain way you do things in Atlanta. I've heard so many people say that in the off season, whether it's about a trade acquisition or a free agent signing or whatever, just there's a standard in Atlanta. And I think Spencer Strider coming in to spring hot and just dominating in spring, I think this is his way of trying to take that already high standard and raise it a little bit more. And honestly, I kind of love it, because it just the idea of this Braves team, like they know they're good, but just going for the jugular every night. I love the idea of just doing everything you can to dominate every single opponent until you can get to October and just keep dominating. If the level of intensity you had to get through 162 somehow didn't carry over into October, just up the intensity even more, right? I don't really know what else you can do, but it feels like this is something that you have not seen from this team in a while. And you combine this with Chris Sale being Chris Sale, and it feels like you have a combination for something to happen differently in October this year.
Well, and you combine it too with, you mentioned Chris Sale. Let's go outside the organization. You combine it with all the talk of the Phillies being projected to do well, as well as all the offseason has been is Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. And it's almost like these guys are sitting there going, okay, we got a pretty dang good team ourselves here in Atlanta. So, you know what? Keep talking about the Phillies and keep talking about the Dodgers, and we'll just get ticked off and see if we can, you know, dominate you during the season. Now, I know everybody's going to get on this pod and they're going to say, yeah, but it's the playoffs that count. Well, they still got to get there. They still got to do well, and they got to carry some momentum into it. We saw what happened when they didn't this past year. So I think you're right, and I think the rest of the clubhouse, they feed off of somebody like a Strider. It makes you wonder if Fried has never been a guy that's been like a super intense guy. Every now and then he gets that ticked off look on his face, and all of a sudden he pitches better. I wonder if he's taking that mindset where he gets a little ticked off as well going into it. So
that World Series clincher, he got his foot stepped on.
I know.
And after that, he was just locked in. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we just need to go around and stomp on somebody every game or something. Stomp on Max Fried every first inning.
Yes.
I don't know. Have Spencer Strider watch a team celebrate, you know, at the end of a season or something. Just find a way to motivate each guy, whatever it takes.
I'm probably putting something in his locker that's playing on loop of like the Phillies celebrating the victory, just to see how mad he gets.
A picture of Bryce Harper shooting champagne or something, you know.
Yeah, that'd be something he looks at every single day. So speaking of pitching, Smith Schauber, who has looked fairly decent this spring and had a good outing this last time out. I'm not shocked at it. Shocked it kind of took place this early, but he has been, I don't want to call it demoted. I think there's just right now not enough spots for him. And so he's going to be option to AAA Gwinnett.
Yeah, they've started playing minor league games now. And so kind of the way what it means now is you can take guys who need innings, you can get them over the minor league camp, and they can get more innings than they would have gotten with the major leaguers. Ken Giles, the reliever, was a similar situation. You needed him to pitch on back-to-back days, to do multiple innings, to build up a little bit, and you weren't going to get that in Grapefruit League action. Same thing with Smith Schauber. I was one of the people in the offseason who was putting Hurston Waldrop over Smith Schauber based on what I thought where they were entering 24, not necessarily where they could be, because Smith Schauber has probably the highest ceiling in the organization. But the steps that he took from last year to this year have been absurd. And the spring stats, the ERA isn't great with AJ Smith Schauber. Like, you got to understand that. I don't care about that. And he's even admitted he doesn't care about that. He was working on specific things. He was working on getting the changeup to look good.
Right.
He was working on the velocity, on the command. And he's taken some pretty insane steps for one offseason for a kid that just turned 21 years old. It is incredibly impressive. And I've heard a little bit of whisperings from people in the beat and things like that, that if you, the first time you need a starter out of AAA, it might be A.J. Smith-Schauffer being the first guy you call up for starts, not Bryce Elder if he's the loser of the fifth starters battle. We'll have that in just a minute. But it might be A.J. Smith-Schauffer because he's just made these incredible leaps in development, not just steps up, but leaps in development. And you can see even easier now how the ceiling for him is legitimately frontline starter right there behind Spencer Strider if everything goes right.
Yeah, I don't ever... When you look at ERAs in the spring, I don't pay a lot of attention to them, especially when it comes to guys like him, like you said, that's working on something. Because before we started recording the last time when I was visiting with Venters, I asked him, hey, walk me through a pitcher's mindset as you guys head into spring, like what you're thinking. He said, well, it just depends. He said, and he mentioned that particular instance where he said, you know, you look at some guys and they start the season out great, but their spring was atrocious. He said, what fans don't know, he may have been sent out there and told to throw 35 changeups, not comfortable to do it, but he needed to throw it in real-time action against other major league hitters to get comfortable with it. And so he ended up getting peppered in spring because he threw 35 changeups. And he said that happens all the time. He said, but then you got veterans that they basically say, go out there and do what you want to do. But if it's a young guy, they do put you on either a count or they put you on a fastball count or a slider count or a curveball count or a change count. And like you said, with him working on that change, that may be why that number's up. He may have thrown way more changes than he probably plans on throwing in a regular season game. So we shall see. It's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. You guys need to go over to plainscoffee.com. Make sure you enter the promo code Braves. Get your 10% off for your pecan pie. It's pecan, not pecan. I don't know, Lindsay, if you say it that way or not. There's a big argument at work about that. They also have turtle. They got mocha. They got pumpkin spice. But you know what else they have? Regular coffee. You can just go and just get regular coffee straight to your doorstep. They don't roast the beans until they have the order and ready to send to you. Ship it anywhere, anytime. It is plainscoffee.com. Enter the promo code Braves and get your 10% off. LC, you mentioned just a minute ago, fifth starter, the battle for that. And so it looks like it's going to come down to that between a couple of guys, and you have your take on who you think it's going to be. I kind of thought based on last season, it would be Elder, but we've seen some difference in opinion now that spring has begun and Lopez is in the lineup.
Yeah. And I think a big thing here is it's the flexibility, right? Like it's not always just performance with some of these roster decisions. And I think this is one of those that comes down to, it's not just performance. There's a couple reasons why Ronaldo Lopez feels like he's going to be the guy. And I think one is the fact that he's obviously making the team, right? You see the contract he signed, you know, the 3-year deal.
Oh,
he's making
no
the team. Yeah. But you have a lot of relief options that you want to get in the bullpen because you're lacking guys with options out there. And so if a guy doesn't have an option, if you want to send him to AAA, you have to, in essence, waive him. You have to DFA him,
right?
Or, you know, or expose him to waivers, things like that. You could lose these guys. And so you have Lopez, who is getting stretched out, right? He's pitched 8 innings across his 3 appearances. He's scheduled, I believe he's going later this week. He's stretched out now. It's easier to move him back to the bullpen later than it is to start him as a reliever and try to stretch him out during the season. And then the guy he's competing with, Bryce Elder, has minor league options. So you can send Bryce Elder to Gwinnett without having to potentially lose him on waivers, via waiver claim, things like that. So roster flexibility-wise, it makes sense for Lopez. And this isn't even acknowledging the results in spring, right? Because it doesn't really matter, but it helps that Ronaldo Lopez has pitched 8 innings with 1 run allowed, and it was a solo home run. Where Bryce Elder has 7 2/3 innings with 6 runs and 10 hits. Again, that's not what they're basing this off of, but it's easier to justify the decision when you look at something like that as well. So to me, it's something where Ronaldo Lopez is going to be your fifth starter unless something drastic changes. Bryce Elder is going to get his second consecutive opening day in Gwinnett. He was the opening day starter for Gwinnett last year and then made the All-Star team. But I do think you're going to see a lot of Bryce Elder this year, simply because if you think about, you have Chris Sale, who barely went over 100 innings last year, and it was his highest innings count since 2019. But then Ronaldo Lopez has been a reliever. His last three seasons, 57 and two-thirds innings, 65 and a third innings, 66 innings. Even if he doubles that to 120, which is a huge jump, you still have innings that have to be covered by somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's realistic to assume the combination of Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez can cover 200 innings, right? Which is one full-time starter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a lot of Bryce Elder. I think you're going to see a lot of AJ Smith-Shawver. And like I mentioned earlier, some of the whisperings we've gotten have been the first guy you call up might be Smith-Shawver instead of Elder. But either way, I think you're going to see Lopez win that fifth job barring injury, simply because it gives the team more flexibility. You don't potentially lose a reliever, and you still plan on using Bryce Elder plenty, plan on using Smith-Shawver plenty, and probably plan on using Hurston Waldrop a lot as well.
You mentioned the word, it's an easy way to justify it by doing the six runs versus the one. Yeah. It's not just justify it. It keeps you from having to defend if you go the other direction, because people like us are going to immediately be sitting out in the press going, all right, why are we letting a guy that's given up six runs already? Why are we letting him over a guy that's not giving up anything? They gave up a solo shot that could be just a freak of nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and I think it covers both sides of your rear on that, to say the least. So how important is it, Lindsay, that as much as we complained about pitching last year and fans complained about pitching, right now it's completely opposite, where they're going to be complaining, why isn't this guy in the majors? Why is he in AAA Gwinnett? Why haven't they? Because as soon as Lopez has he gives up five runs in the first couple of innings, they're immediately going to jump on the bandwagon of, well, Elder should have been there, or Smith-Shawver should have been there, or why have we not given the kid Hurston Waldrop a chance for Ben to go watch him every Wednesday night like he did Kevin Millwood throughout college? I mean, it's
on my opening day roster projections that we've been doing every like twice a week here. I've actually been listing out the AAA Gwinnett rotation, and it got like six or seven deep, to the point where I'm like, I need somebody to be hurt or something, or to be worked piggyback with somebody. Like, you, because you use so many starters, you use 13 regular starters last year, because you use, and then most of them are still here. Kyle Wright's gone, Michael Soroka's gone, Yanni Chirinos, Kobe Allard are gone, but you also got Oscar Yanoa back. You added Waldrop to this group. Like,
I keep forgetting about, you know,
he hasn't thrown in spring, and I think that's why we're forgetting about him. It's very clear he's going to start off in AAA. He may be on the injured list. I'm working on that a little bit. I believe that he's been dealing with some soreness, nothing that they're concerned about, but he's probably not going to be ready for the beginning of the season. But like, Oscar Yanoa is another guy we're not even talking about that was really good when he was pitching full time. I think it was in 2021. And so, like, you're in the situation of you have a ton of starters, and, like, they're all going to have opportunities. Like, you would rather have these guys and not be able to use them than to not have them and need them. And you're always going to have injury things. Alan Winans was dealing with a back issue early in camp and wasn't throwing a ton. Dylan Dodds appeared in one major league game before he got sent to AAA. Again, Oscar Yanoa is not throwing yet, and so, like, you're always going to deal with injuries. And what Atlanta has done is just build up a giant backlog of guys who can make starts for you. Your Darius Vines, your Winans, your Dodds, whatever. And then they've started to build that backlog of guys who could start a postseason game for you in Hurston Waldrop, in AJ Smith-Shawver, potentially Oscar Yanoa. We'll see. Potentially Ian Anderson later in the year. We'll see about him too. He comes back midseason.
Right.
And it's just building the depth, because we don't want what happened last year to happen again, where you're having to go pick up Yanni Chirinos off of waivers or sign Kobe Allard trying to get something, just have a body to stick into a rotation spot. I mean, Bryce Elder was your number three for a good portion of the year last year. And I think we can all argue he went from number three to not even making the opening day roster, if our projections are right, because now you have so much more depth. And that's and kind of been AA's thing.
And possibly not being the first guy they call up when they call a guy up.
He might have gone from third in the pecking order to seventh in the pecking order in like one offseason.
That's insane.
It's just like, obviously, Alex Anthopoulos like wanted rotation depth. And then, I hate to bring it up, but Max Fried's a free agent after the season. Charlie Morton's a free agent after the season. You may need some of these guys in your rotation next year. And so, rather than just sticking them in the bullpen and having them help out here and there, Atlanta's letting them go to AAA Gwinnett and pitch every day so that they are fully on track to be full-time starters next season when you need them, because you are facing at least two of your guys walking in free agency.
Many apologies to Drake Baldwin. We didn't get to you today. Sorry, buddy. I apologize. I know you've had a decent spring, and you're probably going to be catching a lot of these guys at the AAA level, but we'll have to get more about that a little bit later Go to plainscoffee.com. Promo code BRAVES. Get your 10% off. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. LC, as always, I greatly appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, buddy.